I now can sing since I've been redeemed.
I'm on the everlasting,
everlasting rock.
I faith in Christ, my Redeemer King.
I'm on the everlasting,
everlasting rock.
This is the voice of hope.
Jesus, the mighty Lord, great is thy name. Still through eternal years thou art the same. Changeless thy holy word, true evermore. Thy name we glorify, thy name adore.
When Jesus was here on earth, he told a story about a man who planted a fig tree in his orchard. Periodically, that man would come to the orchard and to that tree, expecting some fruit. He did that for 3 years, but every time he came, he was disappointed because there was nothing there. So he said to the man who tended the orchard, "Cut this tree down. All it does is waste space." But the caretaker said, "Give it one more season. Let me dig around it and fertilize it. If it produces fruit, good. If it doesn't, then you can cut it down."
Jesus, the mighty Lord, Jesus, our King, praise for thy wondrous love, gladly we sing. Love in thy
Hello, friend, and welcome to the Voice of Hope. I'm J. Mark Horst, your friend and Bible teacher. I'm glad you've tuned in today for a time of teaching centered around God's Word. In my opening comments, I mentioned the parable that Jesus gave in Luke chapter 13 about a fruitless fig tree. I assume some of you have experience with fruit trees. And like the man in the parable, you plant fruit trees with the expectation that they'll produce fruit. When that doesn't happen, what do? You try to figure out if there's something you're doing wrong, or if there's something wrong with the tree. You know, in the natural world, this parable makes sense to us. But many people don't want to make the spiritual application that Jesus was pointing to. A person who claims to be a Christ follower, but whose life bears no fruit to back up that claim, is in grave danger. In John chapter 15, Jesus said that those branches that don't bear fruit are cut off and cast into the fire and burned. That's not what I want for my life, and I'm sure you don't either.
Take not thy Holy
Thank you, choir. The concept of bearing fruit is woven all throughout the scriptures. It is, in part, the goal of each Bible teaching program that we produce. Yes, we do want to introduce people to Jesus as Savior, but that's only the beginning. Jesus calls us to make disciples, not just converts. This program you're listening to is produced by Heralds of Hope. We're an international gospel media ministry. We're currently broadcasting in English and 20 other major languages. Through these Bible teaching programs, we have many testimonies of both salvation and spiritual growth. So let me share one with you. This one comes from a listener in Nepal. I am a regular listener to your program series. The program has been helping and transforming my spiritual life. I just want to spill out the blessings which I got from your program. I am a greedy man sometimes. I don't want to give to the church. Through the program, God has spoken to me that I shouldn't steal from God. I came to know about Ananias and Sapphira. If you steal God's portion, it will be a curse and harm for us. Now, I never keep the tithe for myself, and I began to give a tithe regularly. After I began doing this, he began to bless me abundantly. I have a small shop, only having a small cash flow. But after I began to give, the cash flow has been turning into a huge and sufficient amount. I give thanks to your program. Isn't that a wonderful testimony? Now, to be sure, God doesn't always bless obedience with financial provision. But in this case, he did. And this brother was able to hear the Bible teaching programs on the radio because of your prayers and financial support. So when he thanks us for the program, in reality, he is thanking you. Now, just before we turn to the scripture, here's the choir with a prayer in song.
Come, gracious Spirit, gently down with light and comfort from above.
As a young boy, I had a sense of God's calling on my life. One time, when I was about 7 or 8 years old, I'm guessing, I was asked by a visiting minister what I wanted to be when I grew up. So I told him I wanted to be a preacher. And you know, as I got older, that call stayed with me. As I look back and reflect on that call, I believe that what I really wanted was for my life to count for something. As I got older, I understood that no matter what occupation I chose, my life could count for God. It could count for eternity. It was that realization that led me at age 19 to fully surrender my life to God. I promised him I'd go anywhere and do anything he wanted me to do. It was a pivotal moment in my life. And I sometimes look back and ponder how different my life would be if I hadn't made that promise. Now let me assure you that through the years, I haven't always perfectly kept that promise. Sometimes I've resisted God's plans. I've resisted His leading. But God has been both patient and gracious with me. I count it a great privilege to serve Him in the ministry of teaching the Word. You know, that responsibility has driven me into the Scriptures when I may have otherwise neglected them. And by that Word and through His Holy Spirit, He continues to mold and shape my life, hopefully for His glory and for the blessing of others. I've met a lot of people in my lifetime, both here in North America and in other parts of the world. And most, if not all of them, want their life to have an impact. They want their life to make a difference. And I believe you're listening to this broadcast because you have that desire too. So I hope to encourage you as we look into God's Word together. Last week, we began a study in the New Testament book of Colossians. I said in my opening comments that the theme of the book of Colossians is the preeminence of Christ. That is, He is above all other powers. He is superior to all other powers, and He exercises authority over all other powers. As we noted last week in our exposition of the first 8 verses of chapter 1, that superiority is reflected in the truth of the gospel. Today, by God's grace, we'll explore Paul's teaching in verses 9 to 14 under the title, Fruitful in Every Good Work. As we begin, let me read the text, Colossians chapter 1 and verses 9 through 14. For this reason, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing Him, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might, according to His glorious power, for all patience and long-suffering with joy, giving thanks to the Father, who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of His love, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins. Paul's teaching in this text reveals several areas of fruitfulness that will develop in our lives as we focus on Him and on His redemptive work. The first area of fruitfulness is growth in intelligence. You know, sometimes, as followers of Christ, we are accused of being anti-intellectual. Occasionally, that accusation may be accurate, but usually it's made because we don't embrace things that aren't proven. For example, things like the theory of evolution or ideas about gender fluidity. Those are the conclusions of men of corrupt minds, as the Apostle Paul refers to them in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 8. But our intellect is a gift from God. It's the part of us that enables us to act rationally based on the knowledge of the facts, instead of being controlled simply by our feelings or our emotions. And Paul here is praying for the Colossian believers that they may be filled to the fullest with the knowledge or intelligence of God's will. He encourages them to fully exercise their powers of thinking, to present Christ to the world in terms the world can understand. Now remember, Gnosticism was making inroads into the church at Colossae. So Paul's words here are a direct attack on the conceit of these people who thought they alone were the reservoir of spiritual knowledge. Paul said, "No, God is the source of knowledge, and all who know Him through Jesus have access to the knowledge of who He is and what His will is." This knowledge that Paul is praying for, this growth in intelligence, is not so that the believers could become proud. That's what knowledge often does to people, you know. It is why, in some cases, Christ followers have been hesitant to pursue it. It certainly did that for those who embraced Gnosticism. They felt they were superior to everybody else. And it too often works that way today. Knowledge tends to go to people's heads. Paul said it this way in 1 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 1. Knowledge puffs up, but love builds up. So what is Paul really praying for? He's praying that these believers will be filled to the fullest with the knowledge of God's will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Let's explore this a little bit. First, the words all and spiritual apply to both the wisdom and the understanding. Paul wants them to develop in all spiritual wisdom and in all spiritual understanding. But what does that mean? Understanding is the skill of deciding in particular cases, while wisdom provides the general underlying principles to make that decision. For example, wisdom knows that a tomato is a fruit. Understanding knows better than to put it in a fruit salad. The adjectives all and spiritual define the scope of this wisdom and understanding that Paul is writing about. Paul wanted the Colossian believers to think deeply, to develop a fuller and more precise knowledge of who God is and what His will was for them. And his prayer is just as valid for us today as it was then. The world around us elevates its knowledge as being superior to God's Word. But I say that any pursuit of knowledge that excludes God is inferior because it excludes spiritual realities. Incidentally, the word that's used for knowledge in this text and at other places in the New Testament always describes moral and religious knowledge. No one who reads Paul's epistles carefully can legitimately accuse him of being anti-intellectual. In this text, he clearly stated that he wanted the Colossian believers to exercise all of their intellectual powers in interpreting and applying their faith in Christ. And his prayer includes you and me today as well. We should be learning all we can about God, His Word, and His world. The next area of fruitfulness, then, that I see is growth in obedience. The reason Paul is praying for them to gain a fuller knowledge of Christ's will is so that they can live in a way that is appropriate to their calling. Paul echoes this theme in Ephesians 4 and verse 1, where he implores the believers to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called. In other words, if you say you're a Christ follower, then live like one. This idea of walking as a metaphor for progress in life is a Jewish concept rather than a Greek one. Psalm 1 talks about the blessing of the one who does not walk in the counsel of the ungodly. Proverbs 4:18 says, "The path of the just is like the shining sun, that shines ever brighter unto the perfect day." A path suggests the idea of walking. Theologian J.B. Lightfoot said, quote, "The end or goal of all knowledge is conduct." What good is knowledge if you ignore it or don't use it? The things you and I learn ought to change the way we live, regardless of whether we're studying Shakespeare or Scripture, biology or theology. And then Paul further explains what he means by walking worthy of the Lord. He prays that we will live in a manner that's fully pleasing to God. In classical Greek, the word areskeia was used in a negative sense of trying to gain favor from someone. It describes the cringing, subservient attitude of someone who will do absolutely anything to please a benefactor. The character of Uriah Heep in Charles Dickens' work David Copperfield is a prime example of this attitude. But it's interesting, this is the only place in the New Testament where this word is used, and it's used not as a negative, but as a positive characteristic. As we grow in our knowledge of God, we should become more willing to do whatever pleases Him. This worthy walk that Paul calls us to is described by four characteristics, and each of them is a present participle. What does that mean? This verb form indicates repeated or continuous action. In other words, it's an ongoing process. So keep that in your mind as we look at these four. The first characteristic of this worthy walk is being fruitful in every good work. It's the focus of our exposition today. The natural result of growing our knowledge and cultivating obedience is greater fruit bearing. Jesus said in John 15:7-8, "If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. By this, my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit. So you will be my disciples." Do you see the connection? Knowing his words and walking in obedience to them does two things. It secures our requests because we ask for the right things, and it produces fruit that brings glory to God the Father. I must remind you that the fruit produced from a godly life should draw attention primarily to the Father. But it will also alert others that God is present in your life. They will see your kindness or your humility, your patience, your desire to serve. Most of these things are lacking in our world, so they are immediately noticeable when you and I practice them, and especially when we're provoked. The next characteristic of this worthy walk is increasing in the knowledge of God. Immediately, I think of Paul's words in Philippians 3:10, where he states that his supreme goal for life is to know Christ. At the very end of his life, in prison, facing execution, does he ask for reprieve or commutation of sentence? No. He asks for his books and his parchments. To the very end, he is wanting to know Christ more fully. He is wanting to continue learning. Notice how Paul keeps returning to this subject of knowledge. He keeps reminding the Colossian believers that pursuing the knowledge of God is far superior to what the Gnostics were peddling, things that they had created out of the vanity of their own fleshly worldview. And by the way, there's plenty of false teaching in our world today that is erroneously labeled Christian. One question we might ask is this: is Paul talking about growing in knowledge or about growing by knowledge? Is there a reason it can't be both? Since we're talking about obedience as part of fruit bearing, perhaps an analogy might be a fruit tree and its fruit. So when a tree is young and immature, it only produces a small amount of fruit. But as the tree grows and matures, it produces more fruit. So the growth of the fruit and the growth of the tree are both important. As we grow in knowledge and obedience, that growth expands our understanding of God, and it will lead us to the next area of fruitfulness. But that next area will have to wait until next time, because we're almost out of time for today's broadcast. Lord willing, we'll continue our study next time on The Voice of Hope.
Jesus, keep me near the cross. There a precious fountain, free to all the healing stream, flows from Calvary's mountain, flows from Calvary's mountain. In the cross, in the cross, be my glory ever.
Thank you, men. My friend, have you embraced the truth of the gospel? Have you put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ for your salvation? Is your life bearing fruit? If not, I invite you to contact us so we can help you understand better what it means to be a disciple of Jesus. Were you blessed by this teaching? If so, you can request an audio CD or a printed copy. Just ask for the teaching by its title, Fruitful in Every Good Work. There are several ways you can send your request to us. You can send an email to us at this address, hope@heraldsofhope.org, or call us toll-free at 866-960-0292, or mail your request to The Voice of Hope, Box 3, Breezewood, Pennsylvania, 15533. And if you'd like a copy of the teaching you heard today, it's available either in print or on an audio CD. Just ask for it by its title, Fruitful in Every Good Work. Or you may log on to our website, heraldsofhope.org, and listen to this teaching whenever it fits in your schedule. If you want to connect with us on social media, just search for Heralds of Hope and follow us on our various social media platforms. Now, once again, you may send your request to our email address, hope@heraldsofhope.org. By mail, The Voice of Hope, Box 3, Breezewood, Pennsylvania, 15533. Or pick up your phone and call us toll-free at 866-960-0292. Ask for your copy of the teaching, Fruitful in Every Good Work. Now, if you'd like to help support this ministry financially, you can include a gift with your letter, or you can donate securely online at heraldsofhope.org, or by calling our toll-free number, 866-960-0292. We do depend upon God's grace, your fervent prayers, and your generous financial support to help keep the Voice of Hope on the air until Jesus comes in the air. Now, friend, I hope you can join me next week. Lord willing, we'll continue our study, Fruitful in Every Good Work, from Colossians chapter 1. And until we meet again,
near the cross a trembling soul, love and mercy fall.